Do you still do cobalamin tonics? And for folks, if you'd like to learn more about that, I think you can put cobalamin tonic in our search engine, and Adam writes about it in some of his blogs. And let's see, that's coffee. We encourage organic, of course, because I think they spray coffee pretty heavily around the world, don't they, Adam?
A lot of times they do, yes.
Yeah.
But then, fortunately, none of it is genetic yet. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you can get organic coffee, which, of course, we do.
Yeah, we might as well. And then you put a teaspoon of the raw cacao, or, you know, just really good chocolate, and then maple syrup. And Adano taught you about that. And what does that cobalamin tonic do for new listeners?
It's a hormone booster rocket, according to Adano Lay. And I've seen women who they don't like it, but they get their period back.
From drinking cobalamin tonic?
You know, your period, the record is supposed to be 56. I know women who got their period back and they had it at 80. Yeah, not supposed to be, but there it is. But some people don't like that. Now, one Tai Chi teacher that my co-author of Yes, No, Maybe talked into taking it said, I can't take this stuff. I'm getting my period back. But then she felt so good, she went back on it anyway. So I don't know if her period lasted or not, but she was doing fine on it, last I heard.
So when ladies, when they go back, and we've heard cases of that, and have their period, are they actually, does that mean you're fertile, Myrtle?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. You can have a baby at 70, I guess.
Yeah. You know, the record on births, and doctors don't like people to know this, but I believe it was 103. You're 103 years old.
No.
But you can find that in medical records. But if you go back into the old medical records like I do, I call it medical amnesia. There's so many things they want us to forget that they don't know. And, you know, how can you really trust a doctor when they don't know, or they think that the heart is a pump? When they don't know about structured water, when they don't know hundreds of things that were known back then and are known today by, like, Dr. Cowan and others.
Sure.
And yes, if you get a broken leg, it's good to go in there and get it set. But look at Vibrant Gal. They told her she would get arthritis. She would, all these things would happen. There would be infections, gangrene, everything. If she didn't get all the pins and the bells and whistles in her leg, and she didn't go in. And she's fine, and she's walking around great.
Uh-huh. Here's an email. Gina, can Adam tell us a little bit about his diet? I get so confused listening to everybody. I just don't know what to eat anymore. Does he eat meat, for example, dairy? Thanks. Okay.
The worst thing you can do is get stressed about your diet.
That's the worst, man.
Look at Betty White. Hot dogs with onions, chili dogs, pizza, all that kind of stuff, and she's 97.
Right.
So stress is stress and fatigue chemicals are our very worst enemy. If you have those, you're going to be in trouble. Now, what I eat, I used to eat in restaurants a lot, but eat by the timing of the food. Nowadays, frankly, I'm not a good example to tell people because we have it too good here. We have a farmer's market where we have everything we want. And basically, I would guess 97% of our food comes from the farmer's market. We only get, what do we get? Maybe cayenne pepper at the local hippie food store.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, for breakfast, for instance, we will have cobalamin tonic. Today, I started out with cobalamin tonic before breakfast. We'll eat it right after the show. I had 3 cups of cobalamin tonic to start.
Whoa.
So I'm ready to go. You know. Anyway, but what we'll have is we always start with soaked almonds.
Soaked almonds.
And then we'll have a few nuts like pistachios, maybe a walnut, some cashews. And then we'll have fruit. Right now, chirimoya are in season, so we're enjoying chirimoyas. We have barhi dates. If you haven't tasted a barhi date, you'll never go back to Majul's once you have a barhi date.
Yeah, I've tasted them. They're really
great. Things like that.
So you just do fruits and nuts in the morning, and you always do a few soaked almonds. Now, you've told us that those, they do something with the stomach and the hydrochloric acid, they kind of set that up for you?
They set it up, yeah. So if you do nothing on time, if you start the day with soaked almonds, then your whole day, your food is going to digest better for the entire day.
Oh, that's great.
And then you end with aloe. I will add that. Aloe is excellent, particularly at 10:30 in the evening. It's ideal because that way it fights the allergies. But aloe at any time, if you have an injury, that's the thing to put on your injury internally, externally. I've had abscesses before. Just put aloe in. In fact, I used to use Thieves oil, but then Vibrant Gal turned me on to aloe, and now I don't need the Thieves oil anymore. I just use aloe.
Yeah, it's a wonderful. We have access to some really raw almonds. They do come from Italy. Do you get real raw ones out there?
Yeah, and we get them from local people. They grow it locally, unpasteurized. They come in a package. I just posted a video on of the farmer's market on Facebook, and the guy who sells us the almonds is waving at the very beginning of that video, if you happen to see it.
Oh, that's great.
And the Katie who sells us the dates is in that video, too.
Yeah, because most of the almonds now, even you go to Whole Foods, and I think they still call them, unfortunately, raw almonds, but they're not. They have to be specifically raw. You got to be careful, right? These days, because California was tricked into what?
The almond, what is it? There's a organization of almonds that they that are control 97% of the California almond business. And so the other ones are out of the box, basically. And they do sell them. They're hard to get. Now, beware, because a lot of them that are not overheated, they use a chemical and get away with it. So you have to make sure that they're not using chemicals, they're not using tricks when they say that it's not heated, because there's other ways to get around that by law. But if you're a local farmer, you can pretty well get away with that as the people that sell us raw almonds. We get two places to get them. When the other guy is out of them, we can go to the second source at the farmer's market. But again, we're lucky. We eat so clean that it's perverse almost. we're going to eat the midday foods. You know, we're going to have like kale, which is a super vegetable with lots of vitamin K in it, which is really important for health. And we'll have, I have beans. I do buy the lentils, black lentils, at the hippie food store, and I have that, and some cheese. We get that from a local dairy person that we've been buying from for years, and they use well water. And the other thing is there's no fluoride in the water here. Vibrant Gal was one of the ones that were down there at the meetings to keep it out, and of course they insist it's good for your health. And now, by the way, Erin Brockovich is making some progress on getting fluoride out of her water. I think she's got a long way to go, but she is making some progress.
Oh, good for her.
She's still in action. What is it, 27 years since that movie was made? Something like that, long time. She's still an activist and cleaning up our water, getting fluoride out of the water, and getting rid of pollution.
So you eat beans. You know, I like beans. You know, I get some really nice organic beans from Italy. That my friend, and they put it in glass, and it's got gravy. Boy, they're so good. Beans are pretty good food, huh? What else?
They're very good food. Now, Ray Pete is not going to agree with
us. He's not going to like our beans. Well, we won't mention them. But so you're not eating animal foods like beef or chicken or anything middays anymore?
Only eggs and dairy at this point. Okay. And I've got no
not a problem.
No beef, pardon the pun, against meat and a little bit of fish once in a while. I've eaten it before. Lately, I'm just eating low on the food chain for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And most healthy diets have a little bit of animal product, like in India where they're vegetarians, but they make sure they have their dairy in there. And that gives you some animal fats, which I think can be beneficial. I'm not really much for veganism, though. If you really know what you're doing, I think you can be a healthy vegan and do it for generations. But most people don't know how to get things out of their food. And a scientist today can figure out what they need. But back in the old days, it's true what they say, that there probably never has been a fifth-generation vegan. Because if you need food and there's an insect handy, or a mouse handy and you're hungry, you're going to eat it to keep from starving to death.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you really know what you're doing, I think you can be a healthy vegan. Anyway, you can be healthy.
Yeah. We talked to, I don't know if you heard Dr. Cousins. He seems to do very, very well on it. He's long. I don't know how old he is. He's right up there, though.
I've seen videos of him doing 50 chin-ups.
I know.
He can do that. I'm jealous.
I know. He told me that on the show. He said, how in the heck can you 50 chin-ups? That's crazy.
We looked at a video of him doing that. I want to see him do that because that's impressive. And my record is 11, even when I was lifting weights. I'm a wimp when it comes to pull-ups, so I'm jealous.
I'm still working on it. I get, sometimes if I really get after it for a few weeks, I can do 10, but I'm with you. I can't imagine just pulling yourself out 50 times, your own weight. That seems like it's crazy, but what are you going to do, man?
And you can do it. Vegan athletes, there's been vegetarian athletes like Bill Pearl and Andreas Colleen and people like that. And one of the strongest man in the world, William Bankier, was a vegetarian. I don't think he was a vegan, but he was a vegetarian. And he writes extensively about how most of the world was vegetarian at one time, despite what the paleo people say. They ate oats and all kinds of food like that, and they did fine. India, even Scotland and places like that, and the Irish ate mostly potatoes and very little animal products, maybe a little dairy products. And look how healthy they were. Some of the strongest people in the world were the Scots and the Irish.
And they were veggies?
And who are veggies, yeah.
I guess they eat oats.
And was a vegetarian, and he could lift an elephant with a rider on it.
Oh, good.
Now, he would be in a platform where all he had to do was use his leg strength to lift him off the ground, but he could lift the weight of a full-grown elephant with a rider on it. And you can go to Wikipedia under William Bankier and see a woodcut of him doing that. But he was famous for that.
It's okay, Doodle. It's okay. It's all right.
Other vegetarians were like Gypsy Boots and who else? The Mighty Atom. The Mighty Atom was a vegetarian. Look at that guy. He could do all kinds of strength tricks, including biting dental mirrors in half and railroad spikes in half with his teeth.
Scott writes in, I'm a big fan of Mercola, and he's a very strong proponent of krill oil, getting the omega-3s. And so what does Adam think about krill oil? And just can he talk more about omega-3s? Is he saying that we just don't need omega-3s at all through the diet?
It's unessential. And Ray Pete will validate that for me, and he's right about that. In fact, the first time I heard about yellow fat disease was from Ray Pete. And I thought, what the heck is that? So I looked it up, and I was astounded. And, of course, I wrote 8 books about it. I became so into it. And I'm halfway through a ninth, but I got bored just putting all these tests after test. When people look up DHA studies and EPA studies, they see all this good stuff. But if you put yellow fat disease and every disease in the world, you're going to find lipofuscin involved. In fact, read my recent blog, what is it called? Progressive Lipofuscinosis on 1031.
Love that word.
It's actually a letter I wrote to the editor here in the local paper, the Montecito Journal. They were kind enough to publish a lot of my stuff when I get on a tear and write about how celery is toxic and things like that. They publish my letters.
What are some more high omega-3 foods that are kind of promoted as health-giving that you disagree with, and you and Ray Pete?
The worst one is chia oil. That has the highest amount of it. And soil is behind. Now, CBD oil is only about 20%. That's not good.
And plus, you don't do a lot of CBD oil anyway. I mean, you're just doing drops,
That's right. At that price, I don't blame people for not doing it. So it's not going to be, but it's not doing them any good, that's for sure. And more people are coming around to my point of view. At one point, you could find the people against fish oil on the palm of your hand, fingers of your hand. Like Dirk Pearson was definitely against it. He thought people were crazy for taking any kind of fish oil or omega-3 oils. But then when they realized they couldn't sell these oils for paints and other things that they were using them for in agriculture, and there was more money in health foods, suddenly it became an essential oil. The essential oil was never proven. It was done by a married couple in 1929 when they came out with the information. It was refuted by Rice University at the same time. And, of course, who did they listen to? Not Rice University. And I think it was Roger Williams, the guy who discovered about 3B vitamins. They didn't listen to him because it was more advantageous, since the petroleum industry was now going to take over what they were using the oils for in paints and chemicals. So now they sell it as a health food. But if you put in, again, lipofuscinosis or yellow fat disease or about 10 other names for that disease, you will find every disease in the book is connected with it. Aging is basically lipofuscinosis. Aubrey de Grey goes into that. Three of his essential seven reasons for aging are lipofuscinosis, and though he doesn't put it out, you'll find if you go deep enough that the fourth reason, glycolysis, there's another name for it, where basically you brown your tissue to death, is also not caused by the sugars, but it's caused by the essential fatty acids, omega-3s and omega-6s. Now, I don't eat many omega-6s either, but I've never found so far a case of an omega-6 causing yellow fat disease. I just take people's word on that it's not that good for me. But again, I eat them in foods and things like that, but I certainly wouldn't supplement with omega-6, and I certainly don't supplement with any kind of DHA or EPA. And of course, tell that to Jack Cruz, and you'll get quite a volcanic reaction out of it.
Oh, because he's a big omega-3 guy?
You bet. He says it's a quantum blah, 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 on and on. Anyone can go to Jack Cruz and find out that we've had a little exchange on Facebook at one time. He's a nice guy. I like him because he's rash. He just goes into the Ray Pete group and just says something and gets attacked by all the Peters. Ray Pete is very polite. He never attacks anybody. He's never said a bad word about Jack Cruz that I can see. But Jack Cruz is always on his case.
Oh, so Cruz goes on his Facebook page or something?
Yeah, actually, well, there on Facebook, there's a couple of Ray Pete sites, whatever the names are. I often go on there to put my two cents in, and he'll actually go on there. And of course, it's like stirring up a hornet's nest, because all the Ray Peters are kind of anti-Jack Cruisers, and the Cruz people are anti-Ray Peters. And Ray Pete doesn't seem to mind. He just lets things happen as they do, which I really like his attitude. He's really... you know, there's room enough for all kinds of explanations, and he doesn't bother to attack anybody that I know of. He does think that the medical profession is pretty dumb, though. He does say words like that.
Sure. Well, he's going to be on the show on Thursday, and then Adam's going to join and do a little co-hosting, and we'll mix it up a little bit and ask a bunch of questions, because Adam has a lot of interesting questions I'm sure he'll come up with that Patrick would not. So he'll be here on Thursday, that's about 10 o'clock, I think. Here's an ulcer question from somebody. In a recent blog entry, Magic Bullets Out of Context, Adam notes that a pressure ulcer that is not healed after 8 weeks of wound care and adequate nutrition is called non-healing wound. It may be an indication that the patient is in a catabolic state. Unless a systemic catabolic state is reversed, the wound cannot heal, and that protein-calorie metabolism is involved, although protein supplementation doesn't help. Can Adam please explain in detail how I can get rid of that catabolic state so that these pressure ulcers can be properly healed? So how does this fellow get out of the catabolic?
Extra eggs at night would help, and eating acidifying food. If you go to that list I have in the acid alkaline food list on December 4th, You don't eliminate all the alkalizing foods, but you tend to eat toward the acidic side.
Okay.
Eggs happen to acidify, so that's one thing to do. And also, sugar, it's not on the list, but it's slightly anabolic. So sugar can actually help to acidify if you're not eating a lot already. If you're eating a lot already, then you need extra amount. And sugar, after a certain time, can become a problem. I'm, of course, the great sugar experiment is going on where I'm eating about 5 pounds a month.
You still doing that?
Sugar. I'm still doing
it. You're going to break out in zits, boys, or something. You're going to get zits. No, I'm just kidding.
When I'm finding out that Warren Buffett is eating about 4 times of what I'm eating per month, I figure I'm pretty sure he's taking high fructose corn syrup, for God's sake, because he drinks 4 or 5 Cokes a day, Cherry Cokes at that.
So why are you eating all this sugar and you're just doing like pure cane sugar from Hawaii and you're just drinking it down?
Well, I mix it in various foods. Uh-huh. Like if, sometimes I'll have an afternoon coffee and then I'll put sugar in it. And I add sugar as one of my sauces. I used to buy different sauces because I'm a big fan of them. And then I found out what I was craving in it was the sugar. Because they put, you know, even in ketchup, it's 25% sugar.
I know, yeah.
So I gave up sugar. I gave up ketchup and a lot of other things with all the toxic chemicals that go with it in plastic containers by simply switching to sugar and mixing it with a little salt and making my own sauces out of it. So often I add a little sugar to my midday and evening meals and make it tasty like a sauce.
And what's this sour sauce? What's this sugar experiment about? I mean, 5 pounds is a lot. What do you feeling anything different or seeing anything different in your body?
Well, actually, I had some minor problems that have actually healed up. And one of them was that when I wiped my butt before doing the oranges, it would be really tender. You know, I had to be careful to wipe very gently because uh-huh. it might bleed. Well, now I can wipe my butt with sandpaper after just adding the orange to my diet and a little extra sugar. And what fascinated me with the white sugar, when we evacuated last year, on the first evacuation, Vibrant Gal got the flu very badly. Mm-hmm. And I, just on a hunch, took a bunch of sugar in my coffee, just loaded it in really strongly. And I resisted the flu. I never got it. Other people at the ranch were dropping like flies. I think 3 of them went to the hospital in the big house. We were in the other house. Vibrant Gal actually had what's called a tonic seizure. I thought she died in my arms. So I knew I had to be there to take care of her. And when I tried to wean myself off the coffee and sugar, I started to get the flu. And I said, oh, my God, I've got the flu. But then I ran into the kitchen. I swigged down a bunch of coffee and sugar. And immediately it was better. And so then I thought, what's going on here? Now, I don't eat meat, but I also, from the owner of the ranch, I got some organic beef, and I ate all of that. I fed a little bit to Vibrant Gal. And finally, when she started coming around, she ate 3 eggs, and I knew she was on the upswing at that point. So anyway, I'm a big fan of sugar healing. They used to use it for wounds that wouldn't heal. Put on directly or taken internally. But too much, if you're a cosmetic, if you're a condiment worker and you have your hands in the sugar all the time, after a long period of time, your fingernails can actually fall off.
Oh, good.
So that's a good thing. So I'm doing an experiment, so I don't recommend people go out and take white sugar. However, it's convenient sometimes, like my grammar school friend, You get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, you put a sugar cube in your mouth. But you could do a chocolate candy, a coffee bean, or you could do anything else at that time of night, too. We would do a midday one, but any kind of, a morning food or sweet, but you could do any time of day. It's still beneficial.
Yeah, I like to take a little bit, maybe half a teaspoon or so of really good raw honey in the middle of the night. That seems to, I don't know, settle me down and help me go back to nighty blinkers.
Excellent. I've done the same thing.
Have you?
I have get raw honey from local people that sell raw honey. Actually, there's quite a few of them at the farmer's market. We have one favorite one. I like the crystallized honey, and that's what we get.
Mike wants to know if Adam thinks the same thing holds true for carnivores, dogs, canines, with the omega-3s because I give my dogs omega-3s because my vet said it'd be good for them. Seems to do fine. That's good. I don't know. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do, and I've written about it extensively. It kills dogs.
Oh, God.
And the only reason, dogs eat balanced diets, but if they feed them a lot of omega-3s, they've killed them. Cats particularly have a lipofuscinosis. If you look up on Wikipedia on yellow fat disease, you will find it's a cat disease. It's not even a human disease. Hmm. And yet it's admitted that humans are more sensitive than cats. Yet they warn people, do not feed your cat raw tuna. When they eat fish products in the health food, in the cat food, it's actually fake fish. It's what they call kitty crack sometimes. It's not fish at all. And then they're adding EPA and DHA, and yet the vets know. They know about yellow fat disease. If you want to call a vet, find out. Now, dogs, people don't usually give their dogs fish, so right, they don't know about it. But I guarantee you, you are shortening your dog's life if you feed them EPA and DHA.
Wow. Now, but the dogs are carnivores, right? They eat raw meat is, I think, one of the best things, but that doesn't have too much omega-3s to mess them up.
Well, they eat meat, and meat has saturated fat.
Right.
The major fat in a human body is oleic acid. We're closer to an olive than anything else, and then stearic acid and all these others. The only reason they find all the EPAs and DHAs in the brain is because we take it. It's not supposed to be there. So they interpret it, well, he's got EPA in his head, he's got DHA, it's essential for you. Well, actually, babies, when the mother eats EPAs and DHA, the babies are born with smaller brains. Ray P. can fill in the details on this. I've written about it extensively. The research is out there. And again, how did I get the material for 8 books? I didn't put – what I did specifically is just get the research papers one after another and align them in 8 books, and I could have gone on forever. There's so much research on it. But when people research DHA and EPA, guess what? They go to EPA and DHA. They don't start backwards from yellow fat disease. Once they do yellow fat disease like I did, I was horrified. However, I was already suspicious back when I managed health food stores. When I got the literature, after reading Dirk Pearson, where DHA was bad, suddenly it's good. So I read that research, and then right away I read an article by somebody who said, yeah, of course they don't get heart disease. They die in their 30s. And so I was suspicious, and I didn't take it from the get-go. But I did believe some of the things about cod liver oil. So every once in a while I took a little cod liver oil, the purest kind I could find. And then finally, after I discovered Ray P., I don't take cod liver oil now either. However, for certain types of cancer, cod liver oil could be therapeutic. And also as a medicine for constipation, cod liver oil could be beneficial. So even a poison can be a medicine.
And there's quite a bit of research or evidence, too, that people that are really eating the standard American diet and not doing very well, and that they've experienced some really beneficial health things from just being on cod liver oil for a couple of months. It's really interesting. I don't know why that is, but certainly heard that a lot over the years.
Well, see, here's the deal. If a person takes cortisol, they're going to get beneficial results. Fish oil, the closest things you're going to find to it is radiation. And what did they used to use for arthritic pain? Radiation. They put you under the radiation like they do for cancer now, and all your pains went away. So yes, it is a instant therapy for pains. It really does work as an antioxidant at that point, but then it reverts and you get what's called an adrenal defense response. This is covered completely in the book, in Ravisi's textbook. You'll find it in detail. Within 6 weeks, you get a reaction. And by the way, if you just take some of the elements out of butter, there are some in that that are even worse than DHA. Fortunately, they're in small amounts. So by eating whole butter and whole coconut oil, you're not going to get in trouble. But if you take palm oil, you might get in trouble. from taking that, because it's twice as potent as DHA is for for alkalizing a person or aging them.
And here's an email. In Emmanuel Ribisi's book, he writes that copper is quantitatively deficient at the level of the cell, not because of its low availability, but because it cannot be utilized well enough qualitatively to form catalase. The qualitative impairment in copper's use at its proper level would lead to an increased amount of copper in the immediately superior compartment, that of the blood serum. The organism does not have too much copper. He goes on and on and on. What can people do at home to correct their abnormal cells' ability to utilize copper so that the body gets the optimum benefits from this mineral?
Qualitatively, when something is... See, that's the thing that people don't talk about. Qualitatively versus quantitatively. In other words, take potassium. When the cancer doctors go in and they say, oh, you're taking too much potassium, we have to get it out of your body. Is it because it's coming out of the cancer cell, which has as much as 66% more potassium in it than a regular cell? Is it because it's now come out in the serum and you're getting well? Indeed, when I was with a cancer patient who chose to take the chemotherapy, they called up one time and said, you have too much potassium here. You're in danger. You have to come back in and we're going to give you a shot. And I put the phone down and said, we're not going in because this is beneficial. And indeed, the tumor shrunk so dramatically, it even amazed the doctors. But if we had gone in and got that anti-potassium shot, it would not have worked. So understanding the qualitative one, in other words, are you low on potassium because it's all in the cell and they measure it in the serum? I mean, everybody in high school learns that potassium is in the cell, not outside the cell. So why do they measure potassium in the serum instead of the cell? They measure it on the freeway instead of in their house, basically. You know, sodium is supposed to be on the freeway. You measure that in the serum. You don't go into the cell to measure sodium in there because the sodium is supposed to be outside and the potassium inside. Then why the heck do they measure the potassium outside the cell? So it may not be quantitative. Most people get plenty of potassium. They don't have the sense to figure that the potassium might be all being hogged because the cell is hogging it to grow the cancer, and that you need to figure a way to alkalize to get that potassium out of the cancer cell.
So did we do the copper thing, or did you cover
well,
that?
Well, copper is actually alkali. It's if you look in the column of Ribisi's table, and I think you put a copy up there, you'll see at the bottom of copper, at the very bottom of the chart, it says C, that's catabolic or alkaline. Right next to it is acid. And everybody knows that zinc actually depletes the amount of copper. And that's why if you take an oyster, usually they're balanced. You'll get high copper and high zinc levels in an oyster and balance it out. But yes, if you take too much zinc, you get prostate cancer. And what do they tell you? Take zinc for your prostate. Well, lots of luck, people. You better have your copper in there to balance it. Then you go to the other side and cobalt. So B12 is going to be opposite the effect of, copper is catabolic too. On the other side of it is nickel. Nickel actually will get rid of copper. Now, that's not a good way to deplete copper. But if you look at that chart, it will tell you exactly on that level, in other words, the fourth period of the elements, all the elements starting from potassium across to krypton are involved. And you just take everything that has an A under it to get rid of the excess copper, if you have excess copper. Wow. If you want more of it, then you take the ones that have C. You would take, now I'm going to look at the chart here. Okay, if I want more copper, I'm going to take more cobalt, more B12. I'm going to take more vanadium. I'm going to take more potassium. No, excuse me, more calcium. That's going to increase it. Just look at the A and the C on the chart, and then you can figure it out.
Adam Bergstrom, Patrick Timpone, Adam 2.0, the third Monday of the month. Ken Roll will be here next week, and Dr. Jennifer Daniels tomorrow. Ray Pete will be here on Thursday. Adam's going to join the conversation on Thursday. So tell all your friends, and we appreciate your ongoing support. These are great products from Wayne Blakely. I think we're going to do a show with Wayne real soon. He knows more about this whole C60 thing. It's crazy about how much he knows about it. Something going on with this molecule, we think, and I think we're going to do a whole show on C60. I think we may even do it on Thursday if we can encourage him to get up early. I think it's 7 o'clock in the morning there, moose time, but before Ray Pete. We'll see. But anyway, this is some information on Living Streams products. These are really fun. If you want to get some more probies and get that microbiome thing going, these are living human DNA probiotics, real good stuff. Previously with Dr. Richard Ulrey and the relationship to the bacteria in our gut, to everything.
There's tremendous communication between the gut bacteria in the brain through the vagus nerves.
Oh.
The brain doesn't necessarily make a lot of stuff. It's kind of like living on Hawaii. Everything has to be imported. 80% of what your brain needs is actually made by the gut bacteria for your brain to properly function and to regulate the rest of the body. Your gut bacteria is designed to make all of your vitamins. So if you're giving your patients vitamins, that means your gut bacteria is not making the vitamins for the body in question. I said, assuming you straighten out the gut and we've got all the right bacteria doing all the right things, making vitamins, the reason you need vitamins is so you can absorb minerals.
That's great. We're learning so much. We've always known the bacteria being important, but more and more. Wow. These Living Streams probiotics we're promoting, we believe they are some of the most bioactive, varied, unique human DNA probiotics in glass liquid available anywhere. All the products in our store, click on one Living Streams, and you'll get access to them all on OneRadioNetwork.com. Rulin Zhu's been writing about some long-term effects with all kinds of Japanese studies and things like that. The Institute of Bioscience University of Tokushima Graduate School on the idea of pearl nutrients and longevity, and also with balancing out their blood and stuff like this, is similar to the results that people have with using the Pearlseum for losing weight. So if you want to drop some pounds, you might try it. There's a lot of science out there that shows people how they do it, and then just to balance out people's weight. It's a great product. It's a special, Pearlseum contains a special group of proteins called signal proteins, which can improve your emotional and mental state. And this in turn helps to reduce your unhealthy food cravings. Also, Pearlseum has been known in ancient times to help release toxins from the body, which can be powerful in reducing your body weight. People are reporting that their energy level is increasing by taking it internally, and lots of research ongoing for longevity in general with this Pearlseum. And there's a lot of things going on, not just calcium. We kind of think of it as Pearlseum, calcium, but some good stuff going on. And then, of course, brush your teeth with it. Give it a try if you'd like. The link that we have on One Radio Network takes you to a two-pack where you get a big discount. But if you don't want to do two of them, just do one and click an order right on the front page of One Radio Network. I think you'll like it. I really think you'll enjoy it. And we sure like it on brushing our teeth. And I'm doing it internally, too. Can't you see I'm cuter? No, you can't.
My friend was down in Los Angeles recently, and he brought up some pure sulfur. We just ordered some from you. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was just looking at it, and I was like, wow, you know, this stuff really is totally different. So I put a tablespoon in my mouth and just chugged it with water, and wow.
Yeah, thanks. A lot of people get that wow thing. I felt something first time I took it about 3 years ago, and we've been promoting this pure organic sulfur ever since. 2-pound orders, 3 different prices, United States, Canada, worldwide. And you can click an order right now on the front page right here, OneRadioNetwork.com. Okay, Adam Bergstrom, 2.0. We'll do some more emails. Stick around for a few more minutes. Here's an email, Adam. It says, remember, some of us with AFibs may have a problem with the caffeine, chocolate, and sweetener, right? Question mark.
It actually takes care of AFib after a certain amount of time. When you first start coffee, though, it's good, like when you start anything, to start with a small amount and go upwards. And yes, some people can be allergic to coffee. You can be allergic to anything at one time or another. Sure. And some things aren't even chemical. Because if our body operated totally on chemicals, why don't we remove 78% of the nitrogen in our body? Because it's totally unusual. So we don't need it. Just take it out of the body. What's going to happen? Our body's going to collapse because it wasn't all chemistry after all.
I like to use a little bit of organic cream in my cobalamin tonic. That doesn't mess it up, does it? Tell me it doesn't.
According to Adonalay, it did, but I don't think it did, frankly. I think it's better for you hormonal-wise to take take a little bit of the other first and then add the organic cream. That's what he told someone to do. I don't think it's any big thing, and I think Bulletproof coffee is pretty much a morning food. So if people want to do Dave Asprey stuff, that's fine with me. It's the timing, and it's just take it in the morning. A lot of people have realized that coffee in the morning is beneficial, and cocoa is a morning food, and so is and cream is neutral, so way along.
Yeah, but if I do coffee without cream, to me it's just like but just a little bit of cream seems to balance it out. I don't know what that is. It's kind of a magical thing. I don't know what it does, but it's probably some chemical.
One thing about, of course, we balance it out by having it with food. So fat, as Pete explains, if you take coffee by itself, it's a drug. But if you take it with other foods, it's a food at that point. And that's an important distinction. We might ask him more about why that is. But I've always taken my coffee with food and very rarely by itself. Even when I get up in the morning, I'll often have a barhi date or something with the coffee to have some kind of food in my stomach so it can work with various oils and things. So I get my oils from like almonds when I'm taking it, or olive oil or coconut oil or something like that.
I see.
But I don't have it mixed in. Ray Pete simply doesn't like butter in his coffee or ghee or whatever, so he simply has the fat with something else. But there are people who love the Bulletproof coffee, who love the cream in the coffee, and gratification is much more important.
Yeah, it's really important, isn't it? Yeah.
It's really important. If you're not gratified and you're eating something that's really, really, really healthy for you and you hate it, guess what? You're going to get sick.
Yeah, just don't do that anymore. There's no telling about what the emotional, spiritual effects of really feeling good. And, you know, somebody has a nice cup of coffee and out on the porch and with a conversation. I mean, I don't think you can can't quantify what that would be good for your health. You know what I'm saying?
The French love that. They're in little cafes and they stay out and spend 2 hours for lunch. What do we do? I used to get in school. We had 25 minutes for lunch. Wolf that stuff down and get back to school, the class. The bell's going to ring. You better finish up that sandwich pretty. Stuff it down your throat.
Here's an email. So why did the overall health of the people Great Britain during World War II improve on a diet of fish and vegetables, as fish was not rationed and very abundant at this time?
You know, it's because of what they left out of the diet, not because of the fish. Because fish was, if you go back, you will find that fish was recommended by the so-called New World Order boys back at the time because it was a cheap way to get people to go to the factories and survive on it. So you can survive on fish. There are villages where they can't get vegetable foods to feed their cows. They feed them fish. The cows have been fed exclusively on fish and they survive. They just don't live as long, but they don't care. They're going to cut them up for meat anyway, and they're going to just, when they don't give milk anymore, guess what? The cow's gone. So there's no problem. So those people in Britain lived longer because of other things they weren't getting in their diet rather than fish. And I doubt that they all just switched to fish so dramatically. They had less rations, and so they got less gout and less of those diseases. By the way, I didn't really answer that person's question about copper as well as I'd like to.
Okay.
If you look at the fourth level of the periodic elements, what Ravisi noted is that that entire level is associated with the cell. So copper is supposed to be in the cell, not in the interstitial fluid except in small amounts, and not in the nucleus of the cell or the mitochondria. So if you look at that row, it all has to do with the cell itself, and that includes potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, copper, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, bromine, and krypton. Now, what does that mean? If you look at the red blood cell, it has iron in the cell, not in the serum of the blood. Then, right next to it, you'll see copper. Copper is not in the serum. It's supposed to be in the blood cell right beside the iron. And in fact, a lobster doesn't even use the iron for its blood. It uses the copper. It has something called cupriglobin instead of hemoglobin. Then we need B12 in the cell, and that's in cobalt right there. And we actually need a tiny bit of nickel. They know that's an anabolic growth factor now, and that fits for VC's information. And then you have chromium. That's an element that's very important, and it's important for the blood cell, and vanadium. And there actually is a sea squirt that uses vanadium in the blood cell, and whatever you would call it, cupriglobin, there's hemoglobin, and vanadiochromium, or whatever, globin. But anyway, these are in the cell itself, potassium included. So it tells you where the element's supposed to be. So if you read high copper out into the serum, then it's not because you had overdose of copper, which you could, but you have to investigate, is it coming out of the cell? Because the cell will not accept it. It says, no more, please, please, no more. Or does it really desperately need it? And that's what Ravisi did. He found out whether it needed it or not. And it behooves anybody in the health field to know where that element is supposed to be, and is it there or is it not?
Mm-hmm. Leslie wants to know, are you experiencing any kind of big fluctuations in your blood sugar taking all of that sugar you're experimenting with?
Not at all. And interesting enough.
That's really curious, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't get any. And you're talking to a guy that used to suffer from hypoglycemia back in the days when I got out of high school. Man, if I missed a meal, you would have one cross bear on your hand. I would be grouchy and feel terrible and feel desperate even that I needed it. Then now I can get to the point, if I don't get food, I just do without it. However, that's not a good idea to drop your blood sugar down that far, because it doesn't get into the brain, and the brain actually suffers from lack of sugar. But now when I'm taking all this sugar, no, I don't have any variation at all in my blood sugar. But I am not recommending people go out and do that. Sure. I'm experimenting at this point. I don't feel in danger because, again, Warren Buffett takes the equivalent of four times what I'm taking. And you remember Hugh Hefner? He lived to 91.
Yeah, I think he drank about, 10 soft drinks a day or something?
30.
Take
the ones with sugar, which mean I added up 230 teaspoons of sugar he had per day. 30, but then he switched to the sugar substitutes after he had his heart attack. And I don't know how many of the other type he had before that, but he must have had a lot. And he still lived to 91, even with the artificial sweeteners, which he might have lived longer if he avoided those.
I think President Trump, didn't I read somewhere where he drinks a lot of diet-free Cokes or something like that? I don't know.
Oh, well, look at the guy, though.
Yeah.
He he is known for junk food. What is this sports team? He got a lot of flack because he gave them
all burgers.
You know why he eats McDonald's though? He says because he knows people are going to spit in his burger, and it's pre-done food, so then they're not going to spit in his burger. So that's one reason he eats at McDonald's. But he does love junk food, but so does Betty White. So I think he's getting undue flack. They say, oh, he's a bad example for America because right. he's eating hot dogs and he's stuffing his mouth with pizza and he's eating this and that. I think it's amusing. The danger to his health is from statins. That's the danger to his health.
Is he on statins?
Oh, he's on his third chemical. They switched him to a third type of statin last I heard. If something happens to him and he ends up in the hospital, they're going to blame the junk food.
Yeah, I know.
It's statins. The statins are one of the worst criminal offenses that the chemical industry has foisted on us. I have a high school buddy that I believe statins killed him, and a lot of people die from statins and or get hospitalized or have heart attacks. It's really bad. You've had many guests.
Yeah.
Explain that from Ufi, unpronounceable last name, to
Ravnikov.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, boy, it's tough. Hi, Patrick and Adam. On Amazon, there is a book about Ravisi called The Doctor That Cures Cancer, written by William Kelly Edem, E-I-D-E-M. Has Adam read this book? And if so, is this book considered consistent with Adam's understanding of Ravisi's work? In this book, the author says that Ravisi prescribed a medication that reduced his PSA reading, test for prostate cancer, from 6.2 to 1.6. Does Adam have any ideas on this process may work?
We have that book, and yes. In fact, Ravisi had ways of getting people off of heroin that was voted on by the Congress and voted down because there's more money in methadone, which is a toxic drug, more toxic than heroin. But he had an actual cure for it. But methadone is a maintenance drug. You're on it for a long time, so the pharmaceutical companies make a lot more money. He had several different therapies for it. One, I believe, would cure heroin addiction, according to him, in 1 week, and according to a lot of witnesses, and he worked it. But then they made him stop using it because it was illegal.
So do you know anything about this PSA thing that this guy took, this lower?
Well, he balanced the acid alkaline, okay. So I don't remember the particular case. We have that book, and yes, it was recommended by the Ravisi people after Ravisi went on Cosmic Vacation. I think in reading that book, because I've read and studied the textbooks and other literature out there on Ravisi, that he makes a few mistakes. But a lot of the cancer books that have chapters on Ravisi, I find quite a few mistakes, actually. But the basic acid alkaline and the levels, they get that right. So I think Edom's book is pretty accurate. I would say 95% accurate. Yeah, if you want to learn about Ravisi, even the Ravisi Clinic used to recommend that book.
Okay.
Certainly.
So now this William Kelly Edem, this is different from the kind of folk hero William Donald Kelly, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's the guy that had divided into two cancers, but Ravisi didn't divide it into two cancers. He divided it into cancer and anti-cancer. In other words, our body has its own chemotherapy that fights cancer. Well, if you go for chemotherapy, when your body's doing chemotherapy, you get double chemotherapy and you die. But you can time it and do just a little bit and tweak it to get the exact amount of chemotherapy, if you choose to do chemotherapy, which isn't very smart. And Ravisi writes about that, why it isn't very smart. But he says if you do chemotherapy, time it so that you don't kill yourself by doing double chemotherapy at the same time. And he explains that much better than I am right now in his book.
So is that why generally, this is a generalization, but people do better when they diagnose with, quote, cancer, unquote, when they don't do any kind of treatment?
That is the best treatment of all. Yeah. Now, like the Greek guy, what he did is he went home to his relatives in Greece, and he was given just a few months to live or a year. Well, after, 28 years, I think it was, he wondered, how come I'm not dead? I came here to die with my relatives. And so he came back to the United States to ask his doctors. They were all dead.
I am planting my garden, writes Mark, for the year. getting ready to order some seeds, and I was looking for ideas for some unique things to plant. Does Anna have any suggestions for something to diversify my garden, increasing my living food intake and improving my healthy lifestyle? So we're looking for some ideas on vegetables.
Vibrant Gal's giving me the don't forget to mention aloe look. So I don't know how that grows in certain climates, though, but aloe's good. But golly, I would, you know, there's so many videos on right now about vegetable growing. And look at the guy in Alliance, Nebraska. He's growing oranges. Hmm. He's using the Earth's heat, natural heat, which is 56 degrees when you're about 6 feet below the surface. And that compared to 31 below zero, as it sometimes can get in the winter, you can actually figure out how to use that in a greenhouse and use reflectors. And he's growing oranges at 1/8 the price of shipping them from Florida. Valencia oranges, lemons.
What's his name? We should have him on.
Yeah, you should have him on. I'll get you his name because I don't have it right here, but it's fascinating. He's in his 80s, and he retired, but then he decided this is fun, so he's going to do this. And now he's really getting into it with aquaculture, where the fish poop is going to feed the lettuce, which is floating on the water, and all kinds of things. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, I would suggest to Mark is I would start studying some of Dr. Cowan's work and seeing he's really a big fan of really expanding our consumption of different vegetables and heritage brands and these kinds of things, you know, the different kinds of kales and get different kinds of greens and stuff. He really believes this is a beneficial thing. I'm sure you can get some creative ideas from Dr. Cowan's work. I think he's got a whole vegetable book. You can go on his website, and he has some very nice powders that he dehydrates, and he uses only organic, really highly grown vegetables like Rudolf Steiner stuff, and you can get some great turmeric, and he's got a new burdock powder that's going to come out that I want to get some. And these are fun ways, Adam, to get these different vegetables that are dehydrated so they're really booming with energy and just sprinkle them on your food, you know. So he says he wants to try to get 30 or 40 different vegetables a month in his diet.
Excellent. You know, people have survived on small amounts, but it clears you. It makes sure you're getting these trace elements that you wouldn't be getting.
Right.
And they tell you that the soil is the problem. Actually, the problem is limited diet. Most Americans, they eat about 15 foods a week, and that's all they eat over and over. And most of them are packaged foods or foods bought in boxes.
I would check out Cowan's Minerals and see what he's doing. And Adam's right. You know, and there's a lot of different prebiotics that come in these leeks and things like that you don't even get in food that you get at the hippie food store. And pretty much, I guess, most of us used to live before we played around with broccoli and squash and what else? Lettuce.
Right. Yeah. Now, Ray Pete is against lettuce, so I've phased it out. I never really cared for lettuce. I always liked the tomato in the salad more than the lettuce. I always ate the tomato first and then ate the lettuce because I thought it was good for me. According to Ray Pete, it's not that good because it breaks down too quickly in the intestines. I don't know about that, but for some reason I haven't been taking lettuce. Oh, and here, Vibrant Gal has passed me a note. Fruto vegetables. Those, according to Ray Pete too, are your healthiest. In other words, anything that is actually a fruit, technically a fruit, even though it's called a vegetable, like a cucumber, a tomato is a fruto vegetable, zucchini, squash, those type of things are actually, eggplant is another example.
Yeah.
Those are fruto vegetables.
Yeah, they're botanical fruits, right? Anything with seeds. So that's even squash, right?
Basically, you're actually, The plant is saying, eat this and spread my seeds.
Yeah.
But when you eat its leaf, you're eating its arm. It holds out the fruit and it says, oh, I'm going to eat your arm. That's not very polite to the host.
Well, it's interesting. Ray Pete says that. I think 10 years ago, when we first started talking with Dr. David Jubb, that was one of his biggest messages, that to eat botanical fruits, things with the seed. Isn't that interesting?
Yep. Yeah. And Ray Pete says there you can neutralize the poisons, however. If you want to eat the arm, if you insist on eating the arm, cook it. Then the defense poisons are reduced. In the fruit, though, there's almost no, either in fruit or fruit or vegetables, no defense poisons. And fructose is fructose is necessary for the liver. It's necessary for your spermies. They can't do their job without fructose. They're powered on fructose, not glucose. Uh-huh. So Ray Pete can talk about that to an extent, but I've researched that myself, and all this fructose stuff is associated with high fructose corn syrup. And if you investigate that, you will find that most of it isn't even fructose. It's what do you call it? Complex carbohydrates are in that. Mm-hmm. It's a chemical witch's brew, basically, is what high fructose corn syrup is. Just because they name it something doesn't make it so.
Dr. Jubb said that, buckwheat is also a botanical fruit as well, which is interesting, isn't it? People think
about
it. Yeah.
Swami Nitty Gritty used to recommend that we eat buckwheat, so I've eaten my share of it. Haven't eaten it for a long time.
Yeah, I think they have a buckwheat, organic buckwheat cereal you can get at the hippie food store, and you can put some butter in there and make like you're eating cream of wheat like when we were kids. Remember that?
Yeah. I've eaten my share of that back as a kid.
Boy,
cream,
I tell you
of
what,
wheat and cream of and cream of rice.
It was the best, boy. It was snowing outside. Mom would make cream of wheat. And oh, my goodness. It was lots of butter.
Here's the gratification thing. That gratification, sometimes Swami Nitty Gritty, when someone would have cancer or disease, he would recommend that you find out what their favorite food was as a child and tell them to eat that. Even if it was a junk food, probably a pizza, he would even say to eat it. In fact, one time when he was so against melted cheese, I told him I had a problem. He said, "That's because you won't eat melted cheese." And I said, "What? Won't eat melted cheese?" He said, "Well, dextrinize it anyway." But what he was telling me is I was getting too fanatical, is basically what he criticized.
Here's an email for you. Here's an email. Some folks get lots of brown spots, skin spots, and I've noticed that they grow and they even kind of can even dangle and get, you know, kind of funky. Is that yellow fat disease, and are the spots part of that too? And how do you counteract or reverse those spots?
Well, there can be various things, melanin imbalances, things like that. If you want to find out if those spots are lipofuscin, put a black light on it. They glow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and most of so-called age spots or liver spots are actually lipofuscinosis. That is lipofuscin, meaning that your cell is getting gunked up with junk. And indeed, that's what those are made out of, omega-3 oils mostly, EPA, DHA, and ALA. Those are the things that did jam it up. And some odd chemical reactions, like many people get ulcers because they get under stress, and chlorine, instead of becoming hydrochloric acid and breaking down into water, it joins with the fatty acids and makes toxic fatty acids. And this is what causes an ulcer. That is explained in Ravisi's textbook in detail, too, for those who want to do it. You know, using the search function sometimes for fun, put in sugar, put in carrots, or put in something like that, and you can go and introduce yourself to Ravisi's book that way. That's a good way to begin. Not like me, who just read it page to page and underlined it so much that I have a colored copy in orange, green, red, yellow, and pencil and pen.
So then to reverse the spots for this emailer, she would do liver cleansing, gallbladder? Is that how you do it?
Butter.
Butter.
Coconut oil, and lots of sugar, but I'm not like I'm doing it. And of course, I do it in fruits too. Like we had chirimoya for breakfast, we're going to have. We're going to have, what is it you're eating? I'm spacing out on the name. The red fruit. Persimmon. persimmons. Don't eat too many persimmons because if they're not ripe, they can actually form a stomach stone.
Yeah.
Look it up. It's there.
I don't know.
Sure, they're perfectly ripe. And then a persimmon is an excellent food. But otherwise, the cure, and you'll find this on Wikipedia for a stomach stone, is Coca-Cola. Hmm. Isn't that bizarre?
So the brown spots, the cures are coconut oil, butter, what else?
Yeah, in other words, you want to get rid of the lipofuscin. So
okay.
You want to avoid, not the omega-6s, they don't cause the age spots, the omega-3s. Now, let me change that. Minimize. You cannot eliminate an omega-3 from your diet, no matter what you do.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Yeah.
Butter has 3% in it. Coconut oil has 1% to more of it in it. So I think Ray Pete has gone to eating the a type of coconut oil that has zero, but it's so overprocessed. I'm not going to do that. I mean, if he will eat olive oil that has as much as 13% of omega-3s and 6s, then why would I do that to coconut to make it zero when I'm eating olive oil anyway? So I'm a fan of minimizing these and making sure you have enough vitamin E in your diet and enough selenium and a lot of the elements that actually protect us against the omega-3s too.
Oh, so vitamin E and selenium protects from the threes.
Vitamin E is excellent, and there it is in almonds. It's very rich in almonds. It's very rich in olive oil. You'll particularly find omega-3 in the morning foods, pistachios too.
Oh. So
I make sure I get I get vitamin E in my diet. By the way, 90% of vitamins now, when they say natural, they're made with GMO bacteria. You can call it natural. All of the drugs, almost 99% of your drugs are made with GMO bacteria now. They take, you cannot believe what they do. You know, they have now in 2012 printed the first book on DNA, printed an entire text of a book. You think if you can do that they can't do things that we don't know about? If you're getting any drug from the medical profession, you are eating or getting GMOs. Potentized GMOs from GMO bacteria.
Yeah. Didn't we find a really good vitamin E that you liked? I don't recall. Do you recall?
It's not the same as the original vitamin E, but it is okay. It's in olive oil, and what is the name of the company? It's got the orange label. Golly, I'm spacing on it. They were actually the company that has this in used to be dissed as being one of the worst vitamin companies. But I see them making some positive changes lately, and whatever the brand is, that I maybe I'll write it under the show when I think about what it is.
Yeah.
It's an orange label. A lot of people will know it. It's prominent in health food stores. Why? Because they give this health food store 60% discount. That's why.
The now, are you talking about Now brand in the orange label?
That's it. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, Brad.
So they've got a good vitamin E?
They have. Their vitamin E is packed in olive oil, and I liked what I read on the label. And usually what they say in their advertising, they don't have to really live up to. But when they put on the label, then the FDA will come after them if they put the wrong things. That's happened to the Weider people and to the Twin Labs people. They've been attacked for lying on their labels.
And
quite a lot of companies have been attacked for that.
And then you said we like a mixed tocopherols, right? Mixed?
The mixed tocopherols is best, yeah, because it's the gamma is the common one in foods, but the alpha is the one that usually gets the credit. Alpha, beta, and gamma, and I think the other one's omega. Those four are important to get them mixed. But alpha will protect you if that's all you can get. So any port in a storm sometimes.
Yeah. Linda wants to know, what does Adam think about different types of fasting? Folks have been talking more about intermittent fasting by skipping breakfast. Can you fast for, say, a sore throat or colds or flu?
You know, it's a yes, no, maybe thing. Fasting mostly can be a harmful thing, strangely enough, but every once in a while when nothing else works. Now, fasting, a water fast is different than a sugar fast. A sugar fast won't get you in trouble because it's protein sparing. That's why the grape cure, again, it's a fruit, grape cure, and it's not fructose, it's glucose, by the way, in a grape. The grape cure, and I think I've told you about the lady I met, and she told me once there was a little girl who was 9 years old and got cancer and was supposed to die within months. And the parents fed her nothing but grapes. And the child cried because the child wanted something else. But the child was cured of cancer, and that was me 52 years ago, whoa, the lady told me.
No kidding. Just, and I know people that have done just organic grape juice, too, and fasted on that. I wonder what that does.
Adana was really big on grape juice. Particularly, he said it can actually cure ulcers by taking it at bladder time, urinary bladder time, from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. So grapes were special. It's mentioned in the Bible, and according to Adano, it's because of its health benefits, including wine, champagne, and all the different stages of grapes. Unfortunately, they put a lot of chemicals in it, but sometimes the more natural you get it, the better, and I think raw grape juice is one of the best of all.
Yeah, so that's the dark Concord grapes?
I think that's the best. They say the chemicals in them, which actually are indicators of acid or alkaline, you can change their colors by the color of it by putting either baking soda or apple cider vinegar in it. But the darker the grape, supposedly the healthier it is. And what is the grape that has to struggle to get out of the rocks? You will find that foods that are strong, that can come right through rocks, like a mushroom or something, are particularly good for our vitality. This is something that the mainstream medicine meatballs don't tell us about, that actually there's more to than just mechanical vitamin C, iron, calcium, etc., that the vitality of a food is important.
Yeah, that's probably some of the magical things that go on, maybe, Adam, with the medicinal mushrooms, why they're so powerful.
They're very powerful. A mushroom can come through an asphalt driveway overnight.
That's crazy. How does it do
that? One of the biggest fans of mushrooms who was obsessed with it was Andrew Weil. I hung out with Andrew Weil back in the day. I crawled up to Muktananda with him when Muktananda told Andrew Weil, you're going to make a lot of money because you're bald. Bald people make more money.
That's great. Like Jeff Bezos, right?
But anyway, he was obsessed because at that point they believed that mushrooms had no nutrients in them. And then he wondered, well, if there's no calories or nutrients in a mushroom, then just exactly how does it burst through an asphalt driveway? And indeed it does. They're very strong. They will break through a driveway. And it's similar. What the mushroom is good for is the sex organs. Notice how suspiciously a mushroom looks like a penis? That's an accident. It also looks like an atomic bomb. That is a mushroom cloud, they even call it. And that much energy is packed in a mushroom. It should be cooked. It should be cooked because otherwise you get spores and you'll get in trouble. But otherwise, mushrooms are one of the strongest anti-cancer foods and energy foods you can possibly eat. And yet, some people will say, it has no food value whatever, and that is BS. And the BS will make the mushroom grow better, by the way.
It certainly will. And if you all would like to try some mushrooms, I think Daniel Vitalis, he has Shaga and Rishi, and they're all the fruited bodies, really highly well-crafted in Myron glass using organic grape alcohol. If you'd like to try some a Shaga Rishi, you could probably take these things every day for the rest of your life. I think Shaga and Rishi are both adaptogens, so they kind of modulate the immune system, right? If it's high or low, bring it, balance it out.
They are adaptogens and ergogenics. They give you energy. So a lot of people use mushrooms for marathon races and things like that. And indeed, in solar nutrition, we would eat it at nighttime, of course.
Yeah, nighttime.
Because that's the time of the penis and the vagina. That is circulation sex time from 7 to 9 at night, also called the pericardium meridian. And it's the part of the heart that is not that is the pump, the circulation sex meridian, versus the heart meridian, which is not, it's a semi-pump, but more like a carburetor. And that works from 11 to 1 in the midday.
Well, it's our Was this our first version? No, last week was our first version of 2.0, right? Last month?
I guess it was, yeah, because we did the periodic table.
Oh, that's right. We did the periodic table, yeah. Okay, so here we are, Adam Bergstrom 2.0, which is the third Monday. Don't forget, look at Adam's blog on One Radio Network. Go to his websites, Sunsink Nutrition. That's a $99 for the rest of your life, even if you live to 144. And if Adam is going to do 2 times 77, that would be 140. That'd be 144. But you're going to do 240, right? You're thinking 240.
I'd like to do that, definitely. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun, man. You know how, man, how, what a kind of research you would do. I mean, I just can't even imagine the Earth, what's going to be going on 100 years from now. Can you? Phew, man. It's going to be
exciting. You know, Benjamin Franklin wished that he would live 100 years into the future so he could see what was happening.
Yeah.
He was a great scientist. Supposedly, Yoga Charlie, Mr. Oliver Black, he claimed he was a reincarnation of Benjamin Franklin. Who knows? He was born on the day that Benjamin Franklin died 100 years later.
Yeah. Adam's other website is solartiming.com, and that's where you can purchase some of his ebooks. They're very moderately priced, and you can download these puppies and learn all kinds of. What do you got? About 10, you say, ebooks? 10 or 20?
Yeah, I've got about 30 books, and you can make appointments at solartiming.com. Huh? And there's a lot of other things on it. It's a kind of a palisade park of the mind. So go to the site and enjoy yourself.
Also, people can make appointments and do consultations with you?
I do consultations, yeah, by Skype, where I can read their body language. Now, some people are poker faces. They're hard to read, so then we have to go to the next level and figure out other things. Because body dowsing works best when you turn the feet. And I'm attempting to get as many people to learn the body dowsing technique as possible, because only a few do it. And you can learn specifics. You can find out exactly who's the matter with you. A lot of technologies tell you that this is the matter and this means that, but body dowsing can tell if you've gotten rid of that or not, or if it's true what the exact trauma is. And left is male, right is female, and that becomes clear. Anyone who learns body dowsing will learn it. They don't have to read it in a book, which is which. They can find it out for themselves directly.
Who's the matter with you? That's great. Yeah, all right, brother. Thanks a lot. We enjoyed it. You guys have a nice lunch, breakfast, whatever you're going to do now. I guess it's 9:30 there. And we will see you real soon. Let us know if we can help with anything. Thanks, Adam. And hi, Fiber Gal.
Looking forward to it. And we're not evacuating today, so it's a nice day.
Okay.
Vibrant Gal says, have a good day.
You too. We love you. Thanks.
Love you, Patrick.
Bye-bye. Adam Bergstrom, he's the bomb, 77 revs around the sun. And, you know, don't take advice from somebody unless they're getting the results that you want. That's what we say around here. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. By the way, we are going to order sulfur like probably in an hour. If you'd like to get on this order, pony up. We'll see you tomorrow with Dr. Jennifer Daniels. I love you all very much. May the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.